Amen. We continue to speak about the strength of the Lord, and I intend to bring this to a conclusion this morning. Remembering what we heard last Sunday, as Benga ministered to us, about keeping our eyes on Jesus, keeping our focus on Him, that He is the source. Running the race, casting off every weight that so easily entangles us, casting off that sin of unbelief, and focusing, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And during these last few weeks, we've talked about the fact that God is the source of our strength. The Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 26. The promise of that strength, Deuteronomy, as your days are, so shall your strength be. Hallelujah. The promise of strength from the Lord. The conditions, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Actually, the Amplified Bible says, they that wait expectantly upon the Lord. You know, if we come and we expect to receive, if we come with a haphazard or half-hearted attitude, then the Bible says that we're double-minded and we cannot receive anything from the Lord. But if we come expecting, remember how it was with Peter and John and the man at the gate, that crippled man. The Bible says he looked at them with expectation. Now, he was expecting one thing, but they gave him something far better. Hallelujah. But he was looking with expectation. And if we come this morning expecting that God will speak to us, he will. But if we come thinking, oh, it's just another gathering, it's just another meeting, it's just another sermon, then we can so easily miss the voice of God. And so the condition is that we wait expectantly upon the Lord and that we can renew our strength. Then we talked about prayer. Psalm 119, the psalmist prays, strengthen me according to your word. And we can pray for strength. We can ask God, strengthen me, Lord. Your word says that you will strengthen me. Your promise is that you will strengthen me. Therefore, Lord, I am coming. I am asking. I am praying for strength. And God will answer our prayer. Then we talked about affirming who our strength is. We looked at Isaiah chapter 49. My God shall be my strength. Hallelujah. My God shall be my strength. And we can affirm the fact that God is our strength. When we are at our weakest, God is at his strongest. When we are at our poorest, God is at his richest. When we are in a hard place, God is in a good place. Hallelujah. And nothing ever takes him by surprise. God knows the beginning from the end. My God shall be my strength. Now today, first of all, I want to turn to the book of Ezra and chapter 7, okay? Use the index. Find the book of Ezra. It's about halfway through the Old Testament. Book of Ezra, chapter 7. Ezra is the story. Well, Ezra was a priest, but it's the story of the return to Jerusalem of the exiles. Ezra chapter 7. We'll read from verse 27. Ezra 7 and 27. Praise to the Lord, the God of our fathers, who has put it into the king's heart to bring honor to the house of the Lord in Jerusalem in this way. And who has extended his good favor to me before the king and his advisers and all the king's powerful officials, because the hand of the Lord my God was on me, I took courage, or as it says in the Authorized Version, I took strength. My God strengthened me. I was strengthened as the hand of my God was upon me and gathered me, leading men from Israel to go up with me. You see, there are times when we face very, very difficult tasks and situations. Ezra and Nehemiah and the men who went and first of all laid the foundations of that restored Jerusalem, who began to build the walls, and then who began to restore the population, began to preach again the things of God, began to restore worship, began to restore Israel. These men had an incredibly difficult and arduous task ahead of them. It wasn't going to be easy. And frequently we find, we read the other week that Nehemiah called out for strength. When Tobiah, and what was the other guy? Sanballat. Those two guys were coming and laughing at Nehemiah's efforts. First they laughed. They said, oh, if a fox was to walk upon the walls, they would collapse. Nehemiah said, give me strength. And then when the walls began to go up and it could be seen that a good job was being done and that the walls were going to be strong, then they began casting accusations and began to try and muddy the name of Nehemiah and try and destroy his reputation. So again, he cries out to the Lord, give me strength. We spoke about David when he came back from his attack and the Philistines had raided the camp and taken everything away, his wives and the children and the goods, and everything was gone. And the men that were with him, the 400 men, wanted to stone him. And he said, God, give me strength. And he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And here we see Ezra crying out to the Lord in the midst of all this difficulty and all the task that was ahead of him. And I don't know what you're facing this morning. You don't know what I'm facing. We all face things in our life like David faced when he faced Goliath. And we face the mountains. We face the difficulties. We face the problems. We face these things and we have to cry out, Lord, as your hand is upon me, strengthen me. As your hand is upon me, strengthen me. Give me courage. Give me faith. Give me grace. Give me the provision. Give me everything I need to be able to do what I need to do. Hallelujah. What is your task this morning? What is your mountain? What is it that you've got to do this week that perhaps weighs heavily on your heart? God will give you strength, but we have to ask. In the book of James, it says we have not because we ask not. And we have to come before the Lord as a child comes before his father and asks for help. So we have to come before our heavenly Father and say, Daddy, help me. Strengthen me. Work with me in this. Hallelujah. And if we do, the promise is that God will work with us. Turn to 2 Timothy. Chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 17. We know the book of Timothy, particularly this second book, is Paul's last will and testimony to this young man, Timothy, that he calls his son in the faith, who he's been training for ministry, who he's been encouraging for ministry. And Paul knows that the end of his days are close. He's in prison for the sake of the gospel. And he knows he's not going to live much longer. And so he's charging Timothy with carrying on the ministry, to continue in what he's doing. And in verse 14 of 2 Timothy 4, he says, Alexander the metalwork did me a great deal of harm. Whoa. I wonder if there's somebody here this morning and you feel that somebody's on your case. Somebody's after you. It happens, doesn't it? Somebody takes a dislike to us at work or whatever. Somebody at college, somebody at school takes a dislike to us and is on our case and wants to do us harm, wants to do us down. Wants to work against us, wants to stop us from moving into a better job, wants to stop that promotion, wants to bring us down. It happened to me when I worked at Stirling Cables. Some of you will have remember I talked about a lad called Mark. It was his job that I actually took because Mark had gone off to university, paid for by the company. And so I arrived 18 years old at Stirling Cables there in the lab, and I took his job. Of course, a few years later, they threw him out of university. And he ended up back at the company. And he did everything in his power to make life difficult for me, to get me out. Of course, I wasn't going anywhere. And I prayed, and I said, Lord, remove him. It took a few months, I think about 3 months, and I was praying, Lord, get rid of this man. He's a stumbling block to me. Get rid of him. And I prayed and I prayed. And eventually the boss called him into the office one day and he said, go and collect your cards, you're fired. And God can do that. God can remove mountains, whether they're people, whether they're places, whether they're difficulties, whether they're circumstances. God is a God who can remove mountains. Hallelujah. And here's Paul. He says, this guy, Alexander the metal worker, had done him a great deal of harm. And sometimes we feel that way, that we've been hammered and battered. And he said, the Lord will repay him for what he has done. Amen. Amen. There's a lot of people around in our country at the moment telling us all kinds of things to get us to put an X on a piece of paper and vote for them. And most of what they're telling us, I'm sad to say, is lies. It's just lies. They'll tell you anything to get you to vote for them. There's no integrity there. Oh, for a man of integrity or a woman of integrity who'll stand up in this country and tell it how it really is. Say how it is. And I believe that eventually all those who lie their way into office, all those who move their way into office by surreptitious means and sneaky ways and underhanded deals, their day comes. Amen. Their day comes. If not in this life, it certainly will in the next. And God will repay them for what they're doing. But he says, you too should be on your guard against him because he strongly opposed our message. And Paul's warning Timothy, watch out for this guy. Stay out of his way if you can. Keep away from him because he'll have a go at you too. And then he says, at my first defense, now he's talking about a trial here, no one came to my support. Everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. That's sad, isn't it? That this man who traveled all over Europe spreading the gospel, who'd been responsible for the salvation, the gospel message reaching hundreds of thousands of people, planted churches, ordained elders, brought the word of God into people's lives, healed people. And yet when he stood before the judge on trial for his faith, no one stood with him. And being a Christian can be a lonely, lonely place at times. It shouldn't be, because we should be supporting one another. But it doesn't always work that way, does it? And sometimes we can feel so alone and so neglected. And yet, what does Paul say? But, in verse 17, the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me, the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. Amen. God gave him strength when he was at his lowest, when he felt like everyone had deserted him, and he was all on his own, and he had this attack on him from Alexander the metal worker, who was trying to shut him up because, of course, Paul's preaching was destroying the trade of the metal workers who made the idols and the shrines, and Paul was preaching the real God and preaching against all this idolatry, and so their trade was getting, oh God, that some trades would get shut down in this country. Amen. Because God was on the move again. That some of the pernicious and nasty things that go on under the name of prophet in this country would be shut down. It happened in Wales during the Welsh revival. Amen. The pubs were empty. Everybody was in church. All the publicans were going out of business. Oh God, that we'd have a day like that again in our country. When some of these things that ought not to be in our land go out of business because nobody's interested in them anymore, because everybody's seeking the Lord. But God, it says, stood at his side and gave me strength. Praise the Lord. I mean, how close is that? The Bible says that there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. How close is it when God comes and stands by your side? I don't know whether Paul saw an angel. I don't know how he knew. I don't know what he felt. But he knew that God was with him, and that he was strengthened, and that he was rescued from those who would see him harmed. Hallelujah. Let's go back into 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 22. Right at the beginning of 2 Samuel 22, in verse 1, it says, David sang to the Lord the words of this song when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. Amen. So this is David's song of prophetic praise to the Lord. And then turn over the page to verse 33. Let's read from verse 32. 2 Samuel 22, 32. For who is God beside the Lord? And who is the rock with a capital R except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. Hallelujah. Verse 35. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. Amen. David says, it's God who has strengthened him. God who has blessed him. And then in verse 40. You armed me with strength for battle. You made my adversaries bow at my feet. Praise the Lord. God arms him with strength. David recognized that the source of his success in battle, the source of his success as king, the source of his success in his deliverance from Saul was the strength of the Lord. That it wasn't his own doing, it wasn't his own strength, but it was the strength of God that was working through him. Praise the Lord. So the examples of strength, we see Ezra, we see Paul, we see Samuel, we could talk about David before Goliath, who knew very well where the source of his strength was. Of course, there's Samson, whose source of great physical strength was from God. And he knew it. Amen. He knew it. And he had that vow, the vow of the Nazarite. No wine or strong drink was to cross his lips, and the hair of his head must not be cut. He was separated out unto the Lord. And as long as he was separated to the Lord, great strength, physical strength, so that he killed half an army with the jawbone of an ass. Amen. That was Samson. Every time they bound him, He just snapped the ropes and the fetters until the day he was seduced by Delilah. And she cut his hair, and his vow was broken. And that anointing from God stopped. And he got up. The Bible says he didn't even know that the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him. I think that's one of the saddest verses in the Scripture. He says, I'll get up as I have done previously. And the Philistines piled in on top of him. And he just expected to shake them off like some old dog. And suddenly he realized, hey, God's not with me anymore. And his strength had gone. And they bound him. They put out his eyes. They tied him to that mill. And every day, Samson trudged around that mill, grinding out corn for his captors. Just pushing that mill wheel round and round and round. And you know, there's a lesson in that. Something I've not preached on for years, but Samson used to be one of my favorite stories to preach on. There's a lesson in that. Sometimes we don't know that the Spirit of the Lord has departed from us. Sometimes we can backslide without even knowing it, and we can get cold to the things of God and we don't even realize it. And then one day we wake up and find that I'm on some kind of religious treadmill now. Just going round and round and round, doing the same old thing every day. Church, work, church, work, church, then to work, then to church. And nothing's happening. There's no reality in it. There's no blessing in it. It's just going round some old treadmill every day, the same old routine, because the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him. And it can be like that for us if we're not careful. But praise God, there's even hope there, because the Bible says that the hair of his head began to grow again. And even though he was blind and whipped and downcast and tied to this mill wheel, God had not forgotten Samson. And he cried out to the Lord in his distress, and he said, Lord, one more time, just once more, Lord. That's all I ask. Once more, give me strength. And in great faith, as they brought him into the great hall of the Philistines to make fun of him again. I mean, they were having a great time. He'd been the thorn in their flesh for years. They hated every ounce of Samson. They hated him with such an intense hatred, and they just loved to make fun of him. And is it not like that now with the church in our nation? Did we not see on the news this week that poor man up in court because he refuses to give sex counseling to a gay couple? And the judge says the law of the land takes precedent over the law of God. That's what the judge was saying. The law of the land takes precedent over the word of God. And the world loves to make fun of us and knock us down and think that we count for nothing. And that the traditions and the good things that the law of the Lord has brought to this nation count for nothing anymore. But God hasn't finished with us yet. And God hadn't finished with Samson. And they brought him in to have another go at him, to make fun of him. And Samson said to the boy that was leading him, now just get me up to the pillars. Take me to the pillars that hold up the roof. And the boy led him there to the pillars. And Samson reached out and put his arms around the pillars. And I bet they were all thinking, oh, look at him. Samson, the great has-been. The useless man who was but isn't anymore. Look at him. He's going to try. He's going to have another go. But even as he did so, the Bible says that the strength of God came back into him. And as he began to contract his muscles, suddenly the pillars began to crack and to splinter. And the bits started coming down from the ceiling. And suddenly the Pharisees weren't laughing anymore. And as he stretched and he groaned and he crushed those pillars, and the whole building collapsed, and every Pharisee that had mocked him for those months and years died on the spot. And the Bible says that he took more in his passing than he ever did during his life. Hallelujah. And I trust and believe and pray and hope that the church will take more in its rapture than it ever has in its history past. Amen. Because God hasn't finished with us yet. Trusting that the hair on our head is going to start growing again. And that the church will, yeah, well, for some of us that would be a miracle. But I'm talking spiritually, amen, and that the church will get back to its vows, back to its first love, back to Christ, focusing, as we heard last week, on Christ, not focusing on the things that are going on around us, but focusing on Him, and that we'll begin to flex our muscles again, and that people in high office will take note of what we're saying. They listen to the imams, amen. Well, they don't listen to the Christian leaders anymore. But one day, amen, one day, if it doesn't happen before the rapture, it'll certainly happen after. Suddenly they'll say, where have all the Christians gone? And when the hounds of hell are let loose in the world, they'll be saying, bring back the church, bring back the Christians, bring back the believers. Amen. The source of our strength is in Christ. Now we need to move on, because like I said, I want to finish this morning. There's an invitation from the Lord in Isaiah. Chapter 27 and verse 5. And in here we see an invitation from the Lord. Now I'm reading the authorized version of it this morning. Take hold of my strength. Amen. Take hold of my strength. In the NIV it says refuge. Where do we want to be this morning? Do we want to be under the strength and the refuge, under the shadow of His wings, or trying to work things out our way? The invitation from God is, take my strength. Take hold of me. Take hold of my strength. Come to me for refuge. Come to me for strength. Hallelujah. Isaiah 41. Moving swiftly now. Be silent before me, you islands. Let the nations renew their strength. Let them come forward and speak. Let us meet together at the place of judgment. God is the one who gives nations strength. Amen. He gave Israel strength. He can give this nation strength when His people stand up and are counted for what they believe. The nations renew their strength. And then finally into the New Testament, into the book of Ephesians. This is one of my favorite scriptures. Ephesians chapter 6. Hallelujah. We need strength this morning. Verse 7. I'm in the wrong scripture here. There we go. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Praise the Lord. That's the scripture that was pronounced over me when Brother David Greenow from Northern Ireland, well, he's not from, he lives in Northern Ireland, he's actually a Welshman, but some of you will remember David. He's still alive, he's still in ministry, although he's been poorly recently, in his 90s now, I believe. And David Greenow laid his hands on me, and it would have been, I don't know, when it says on that certificate on the back wall. So I'll have a look there after and find out. Probably sometime around 1990 or so, I guess, after I'd been full-time for a couple of years for the Lord in ministry. And these brothers laid their hands on me and separated me out to the work of the Lord. And that was the scripture that David gave me. He said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Not in your strength, not in any strength that you think you've got or any strength that you think you haven't got. Amen. Sometimes we're too strong for our own good. Our character can get in the way of what God wants to do. Our personality can get in the way. We can be too big for our own boots. Other times we can feel like a mouse. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. Amen. Who was that? Children of Israel. When the spies came back. Oh, the land is fantastic. Look at the grapes. It flows with milk and honey like God said it would. But there's giants in the land and we are like grasshoppers in their sight. Grasshopper mentality. That's what I call that. You see, either way it doesn't work, does it? If we're too big for our own boots, God can't work with us. And if we're too much of a grasshopper mentality, God can't work with us. We have to just say, Lord, I need to be in your strength, not my strength or lack of it, not my ability or lack of ability. I'm going to work in your strength. And so the invitation here to the church at Ephesus was be strong in the Lord. Amen. And that's where we need to be today, strong in the Lord. And then finally this morning, let's just turn to Psalm 46 as we close. It's a great psalm, this one. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength. An ever-present help in trouble. Praise the Lord. God is our refuge and strength. An ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. You see, this psalm talks about the provision, the protection of God there, refuge and strength, and the provision of God. You know, the nations made fun of Israel because Jerusalem had no river. But all capital cities, all major cities are built on rivers. Liverpool, Manchester, London, they're all on major rivers. If they didn't have a river, they dug a canal. But Jerusalem had no river. It wasn't on the Jordan. You look at your maps. There was no river in Jerusalem. But its provision was the Lord. And that's why the psalmist says there is a river. There is a river. Oh, it's not a water course. It's not like the Thames or the Mersey or the Humber or the Tyne. But there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. That's the river of the Spirit, this river of life, the river of God's presence with us. In verse 5 there it says, God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall, and he lifts his voice, the earth melts. And then in verse 10, be still and know that I am God, and I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Perhaps even next week, we'll have a better look at Psalm 46, because it's a tremendous psalm. Maybe that would be a good way to end our... I'll put my bookmark in there to remind me. Next week, we'll have a look together at Psalm 46. Father, we thank you this morning that you are our strength. Lord, there is no one like you, and teach us to wait upon you. Lord, even as we sung that song this morning, they that wait upon the Lord. Father, we need to renew our strength today. Lord, we do feel battered and bruised. Lord, there are times when we feel that the very gates of hell are against us. And Lord, we ask for strength today. We come to you and say, Father, strengthen your people. Strengthen the church. Strengthen us as individuals. Strengthen us as mums and dads. Strengthen us as brothers and sisters. Strengthen us as grandparents. Strengthen us as children. Lord, strengthen us. But most of all, strengthen us to your service and keep us separated. Lord, help us to be like it was in the days of Samson. That Lord, when he walked with you, no one could touch him. Help us to walk with you. And Lord, forgive us for the times when we've allowed the enemy to sap our strength. And Lord, restore to us. Lord, let the hair on our head begin to grow again. Restore us, Lord, strengthen us, bless us, help us. Lord, we look to you. Where else can we go? Only you have the words of eternal life. So we bless you and we ask you for provision and strength and health and healing for another week, for protection. Lord, work with us, strengthen us, bless us, because we give you praise and thanks. In Jesus' name. Amen.